Hebrews chapter 6. Start reading in verse 13, Hebrews chapter 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, and saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is them to an end of all strife. But God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's us, than made the promise to Abraham, wherein God more willing, more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchanging of his counsel, his inability to change his counsel, change his will. He confirmed it by an oath. And that by two immutable things, two things that's impossible to change. First is God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And that first one was that he swore by himself. This is the second. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, where the forerunners for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There in verse 18 it says we might have a strong consolation, because God's counsel cannot never change. His will can never change. His promise can never change. And he cannot lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The apostle here is describing true believers, God's people, God's elect, who have a strong consolation. And that strong consolation means that we're greatly, greatly comforted. Greatly comforted by God's promise, God's immutability, that he cannot lie. And these people have fled for refuge. Fled for refuge. And when they fled for this refuge, they laid hold upon the hope that was set before them. And the same one to whom they fled for refuge is their hope. And their hope is the one to whom they fled for refuge. Well, who is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us who it is. Our Lord Jesus Christ, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And when we flee to him for refuge and the hope set before us, because he undertook so much for us. He undertook everything that was necessary for us. And a true believer, God's people, have fled to him for two reasons. Two reasons. Because of the future. Because we fled to him because of the future. We don't know what our future holds except what it holds in him. Mm-hmm. That's all we know, what it holds in him. And I tell you what, because of the future, what holds the future, we lay hold upon the hope set before us. And I tell you what, and the hope that we're talking about is laid up for us already in heaven. Paul told the Colossians that, said, there's a hope laid up for you in heaven. Where's your hope at? It said Christ has entered within the veil. So our hope is outside this world. Our hope's in another place. Our hope's in a person. Not in a place, but in a person. And then this hope is also set before us in the gospel. Oh, what a blessed hope we have. What a glorious hope we have. What a sure hope we've had in our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only do we flee because of the future, but we flee to Him because of the present. Right now. Right now. They flee to Him. We flee to Him every day for refuge. And why do we flee to Him every day for refuge? Because we need to. We need to. I need to. Do you need to? Oh, I need to. Nothing compels me but my need. Why do I flee to it? Because I need. I have a need. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the believer's refuge to whom he's fled and must flee every day. Now, when we talk about a refuge is a hiding place, something that people flee to hide in. In times of trouble, when you're in trouble, you try to find some place to go. When you're in danger, you try to find some place to hide. And I tell you, these God's people flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for safety and for supply. They flee believing that the Lord Jesus Christ will give us everything we need. We have to have it. Now let me tell you something. There's two kinds of refuges that people go to. There's a personal refuge that people have. People. You know, everybody has people in whom you can confide in, that you can trust, you can open your heart to, that you can lay yourself bare to them. And when we go to those people, we expect shelter from them. We expect some comfort from them, some assurance from them, some shelter from them. And you know, when you have a trusty, faithful friend that you can open your heart to, we'll call them a raw refuge. And I tell you what, we can tell them anything that ails us or what we want, and they'll never let us down. And they certainly wouldn't tell anybody else about it. It's like Jonathan. Jonathan, Saul's son. You know he was a refuge for David. David trusted in him, entered into covenant with him. And Jonathan, David could come to Jonathan, and Jonathan was a wonderful, blessed refuge for David against his father Saul. And then there's not only personal refuges, but there's real refuges. There are things that are a refuge. You know, when I was in the military, when I was in Vietnam, and other people's been in different places at different times. When we was in Vietnam, you know, in a time of war, they had bunkers. Big bunkers. Strong bunkers. You know, they was way deep at the top. Big holes dug in that you could get in and hide. And things could fly around you. And you felt pretty safe. And when I was a boy, when we was in the Cold War, I don't know how many people dug bomb shelters thinking the bomb shelter would save them from an atomic war. And then you got these doomsdayers that they build these great big shelters and stock it with food and thinking that because the world's going to come to an end one of these days and they need something to get them through. Well, I tell you something, beloved. We're in a war and there's no discharge in this war. And we got no bunkers, we got no bomb shelters. All we've got is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know a better place to go? Oh, the rich man's wealth, the scripture says, is his strength. That's his strong city, is his wealth. And God made six cities of refuge. Look over here at Numbers with me. Numbers, I believe it's 35. Look at Numbers 35 with me. God made six cities of refuge. And that's what Paul's alluding to, these cities of refuge. We fled for refuge. And look here in verse 9 of Numbers 35. There were six cities of refuge appointed by God. And the manslayer could go into it. Look in verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, that you shall appoint you cities of refuge for you. Now these folk, when things got bad, that's where they went, to these cities of refuge. That the slayer may flee there which killeth any person unaware, by accident or something. He'd have some place to run to. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger. Somebody going to avenge blood. That the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these six cities, you shall give six cities shall ye have for refuge. Give three cities on this side Jordan, three cities on shall be given in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them. Everyone that killeth any persons unaware may flee there. Now here, that's what the apostle's leading to. These cities of refuge. And they had six cities. Six cities that they could go have a refuge in. We just have one. We don't need six. Wouldn't it be awful if you had six places to go, six things to choose from? Which one did you know to go to? Where would you be? But I tell you, they had six places of refuge. We got just one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, this says there, you know, that they would have to wait and stand before the congregation of Israel for judgment. Well, listen, we've already stood judgment with our Lord Jesus Christ, already stood in judgment with Him, already been judged in Him, already been acquitted in Him, cleansed from all guilt in Him. So let's talk about this refuge, why we have such a need of a refuge, and our Lord Jesus being our refuge, why we have need of Him every day. I'm going to give you four reasons we have a refuge and we need Him. Need Him every day. The first reason, everybody ought to know this reason, is because we're sinners. Oh, we're sinners. Where's a sinner going to have a place to hide? God's justice, the avenger of blood, God's justice said, I can't clear you of your guilt. God's justice said, I can't let you go. I can't even let you into the city of refuge. You're guilty of too many crimes. And I tell you what, we're sinners. And we contract guilt every single day. John said it like this. He said, Little children, I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a place that we can go to. Jesus Christ the righteous. And I tell you, beloved, and if a man says he has not sinned, he deceives himself, and he says he has not sinned, he's made God, he's a liar. And beloved, we know that we have to go to Christ because we're sinners. Yeah. We're sinners. You don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to lift your hand to commit a sin. You don't have to do nothing to commit a sin. We commit enough sins in our minds, in our imagination, when nobody's looking, that God Almighty would have to damn the whole human race just for what goes on in our mind. Is that not right? And oh, listen, the awfulest sin that we've got is pride and self-righteousness. You say, I don't ever get proud. Oh, when somebody starts telling you about how humble they are, I'm going to tell you how humble somebody is. All you got to do is say something bad to them. Say something that point out some fault they got. Point out some weakness in them. And you'll find out real quick how proud somebody is. Ain't that right? That happens in our homes all the time. I told you. I know you're going to do that. You do that all the time. Well, listen. Ain't that the way we are? Oh, we got pride. We got pride. But oh, listen. Thank God we got a refuge, a place in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, we don't trust any other refuge than Him. There's no other refuges. There's no refuge in the church. There's no refuge in one another. There's no refuge in religion. There's no refuge in a political party. There's no refuge in any. And there's no refuge in America. There's no refuge in the world. There's only one refuge we've got, and that's our blessed Savior.
Amen.
Huh? Oh my. And I give you the second reason, not only because we're sinners, but all the temptations that we have. Temptations that we have. You know, that world holds a lot of temptation. You go out in this world and you see people that's got lots of money and they, you know, and the world holds such an allurement. If I'd like to have this and I'd like to have that and I'd like to go here and I'd like to do this and I'd like to do that, and we in this world, it's shiny. It's bright. It's full of baubles. John Bunyan said the world was like Madam Bubble. She walks pretty and she walks in simple slippers. But I tell you what, when you get close to her, she pops. And oh my, the world, oh such allurement at home. And oh, the world is so affluent now. We're all so affluent. And it's so easy to trust in our affluence. It's so easy to trust in how well we're doing. But God have mercy on our nation. God help our nation. Help our president. Help this nation. Save this nation. Because this nation and this world, it holds such an allurement for us. And in the flesh, oh, what can I say about the flesh? Oh, the flesh, how our flesh. Paul said, oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And you know what he was talking to? He said his flesh is like a dead, rotten, corrupting body that he carried on his back. And I tell you what, sometimes you carry that old heavy, dead body, that old flesh around with you on your back, and sometimes it gets so heavy and it starts rotting and it starts stinking and it starts corrupting. And then you cry out, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me? Who's going to save me? And then you look at yourself, and I know that in my flesh, in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And then there's the devil. He's had 6,000 years dealing with people like you and me. If he overthrew the first man who had no sins, fresh from the hand of God, imagine what we're no match for him. We're no match for him. And I tell you what, he don't care what kind of means he uses. You know, he'll frighten you to death. He'll put fears within, fightings without. But all these things, this world and this flesh and the devil, they're all trying to draw us away. All trying to draw us away from Christ. All trying to draw us away from God and cause us to fall into sin. And I tell you, there's always temptations coming. Always coming. That's why I always said, pray, Lord, deliver us. Save us from temptations. Huh? But the question is, when I tell you the world and the flesh and the devil's going on, where's our refuge? Where do we go? Where do we go for strength? Where do we go for safety? where we go for sanctuary in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where else we gonna go? Where else we gonna go? And let me give you the third reason. Not only because we're sinners, because of temptations, but because of troubles. Troubles. Anybody here been in trouble, have troubles? Right now. Troubles. There's folks sitting here I'm looking at that's just, they have troubles. Troubles in their body. Troubles in their mind. Worries. Fears. Huh? And I tell you what, I've told you this before. Scott Richardson's dead right on this. A believer's one in three places all the time. He's either going into trouble, coming out of trouble, or in trouble. And the bigger your family gets, the more troubles you have to do. The more things you're involved in, the more troubles you have to deal with. Our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, and our wives, we don't know what they're going to go through. But whatever they go through, we go through with them. Troubles. Troubles. Job said, man that's born of a few days, and born of a woman is a few days, and full of troubles. Someday you get up and you don't know what in the world is wrong with you, but you're full of woe all day long. You're just full of darkness, you're full of weakness, you're full of inability all day. And the next day you get up and the sun's shining bright as ever. How can explain that? When you're sitting in the hospital and you're sitting with a loved one, that's trouble. When you got children and you don't know where they're at and what they're doing and what they're going to do and what's going to happen to them, and you get afraid for them, that's trouble. Oh, somebody says, well, my mother and father, they'll look after me. I have a friend that'll take care of me. But the believer said, oh, listen, I've got one place I can go. I've got a place I can go. And I tell you what, I don't care where anybody else goes, I'm going to go to Christ. It's the best refuge. It's the strongest refuge. It's the only refuge. It's sure. It's the only sure refuge that we have in this world. Huh? Oh my. And then there's the dangers, temptations, and troubles that's yet to come. Yet to come. This time last year, this time 6 months ago, some of you didn't have any idea where you was going to be and what was be going through in your life. This time last year, Ruby's sitting right there. Bless her heart, she's where she always wanted to be. But oh, listen. You know, when Mr. Spurgeon says, you know, we're going to have enough troubles without making homemade troubles. You know what a homemade trouble is? It's fearing something that's going to happen that may never happen. Have you ever done that? You start making fears of this could happen, that might happen, some other thing might happen. And so you start having these fears, and the fears is never hardly as bad as what's going to happen. Our Lord Jesus says, take no thought for today. For today has enough evil sufficient for today. But oh my. And I tell you, beloved, I've known folks that's all they think about. Boy, this could happen, that could happen. Another thing could happen. There's people that was just born to worry about what could happen. They say, well, this could happen. Well, it couldn't happen too. Some of y'all remember Ethel. She absolutely worked herself down at everything. Everything. She just was scared to death of her own shadow. But she was just worried about everything. And I'd tell, she'd always ask me, said, how you doing? I said, I've got no complaints. She said, I know you're lying. You've got to have a complaint. Everybody's got something to complain about. But oh no, I'm telling you, no matter what yet comes, it don't make any difference. We got the same refuge. Where are we going to refuge? Where are we going to go? When the troubles that are yet to come, we don't know what they are, but I know where we're going to hide. I know where we're going to flee. I know who we're going to go to. We're going to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, I'm convinced. Are you convinced that you need a refuge?
Amen.
Well, let me tell you something about our Lord Jesus and what a blessed, blessed refuge He is. First of all, He's the appointed refuge. He's the one ordained of God. God set Him up on purpose and made Him on purpose. Sent Him into this world. Ordained Him to come into this world for us to have a place to flee to.
Amen.
Ain't that right? Look in Isaiah 32. Look at Isaiah 32. You know, they had six cities appointed for refuge in Israel. And Israel didn't appoint them. God appointed them. And God appointed our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says here now. Verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man, shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert, a place to get under from the tempest. He'll be like rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see him, they're not going to be dim. And the ears of them, him that hears shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. And the tongue of the stammer shall preach plainly. Oh, we got a man that we go to. God appointed him. And God made Christ unto us. Everything we need wisdom, He's our wisdom. We need righteousness, He's our righteousness. We need holiness, He's our holiness. We need redemption, He's our redeemer. And oh my. And God raised him up for this very purpose. He raised him up, sent him, and anointed him to meet all of our needs. God sent him as a prophet to teach us about God. Teach us about God's Word. Teach us about God's will. To make God known unto us. He sent him as a priest to offer a sacrifice for us. And ain't that what it told us in our text? That he's a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek? He's made a high priest to offer a sacrifice and satisfy God and sit at God's right hand and intercede for us. And then it says there in verse 1 of chapter 7, He's the King of the Salem, the King of the priests of the Most High God. Christ is the King to protect us, to defend us, to provide for us. So He's first, He's God's appointed, ordained refuge. There's not another. God made us accepted in the Beloved. And not only is He appointed, but He's able. He's an able refuge. You know, God told about people that run down to Egypt and run to the world. He said, they're like leaning on a broken reed. You stand on a broken reed and start leaning on it, and you just, down you go. He said, that's what people do, believe on anything besides Christ. And there's lots of refuges that people flee to that'll not shelter them, not keep them, and not preserve them, but not our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that whatsoever I've committed unto him, he's able to keep it against that day. And I tell you, if our Lord, you know what the leper said, Lord, if you will. Lord, if you will. And the Lord wills. He wills. Huh? He can acquit us from all guilt. He can save us from all danger. And he can support us in any trial and supply any need that we may have. Tell you something else about our Lord Jesus Christ. Appointed and able. He's a refuge that's right here, right now. The Lord is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Paul says the Lord Jesus Christ is near at hand. And you know what that means? That Christ stands at you right there at your hand. You know how near Christ is? Right here, right now. Where you think I'm hiding this morning? Where you think I'm sheltered at this morning? Where you think my refuge is this morning in this miserable attempt to be a preacher and a pastor? Miserable attempt to know anything about the Word of God. Huh? He's ever near. And I tell you what, not only is he ever near, but he's going to always be living. Yeah. He's always living. And having loved his own, he loved him unto the end. What comfort, what consolation. When we're guilty, when we're wounded, when we're tempted, when we're in trouble, when we're in danger, to know we have a refuge so near. So near. You go to him right where you sit. This is what's so wonderful about Christ. You don't have to, you know, if a big storm comes, you know, you got to get up and go hide someplace. But when you know, you don't have to get up to go anywhere to get in Christ, to be in that refuge. He's there. He's there. And oh my, here's the fourth thing about him. He's a universal refuge. What do I mean by that? It don't matter who you are, what you are, what you've done, who you know, what you got. All that matters is that he's the refuge for you. What character, what class, it don't make any difference. Huh? God's not excluded you. God's not excluded you to come to him for refuge. Well, don't exclude yourself. You know, it says there, the city of refuge were for strangers and for sojourners. Strangers and sojourners. Oh my. And he's a refuge, and I don't care what case it is. If it's an inward struggle you're having or an outward struggle you have. Whether it's a bodily affliction you have or a spiritual affliction you have. Let the temptation, let it be what it's going to be. He's the refuge. He's the refuge. And you know the cities of refuge were for one type of person, the manslayer. That's all it recognized, the manslayer. But you know this is a refuge for the worst kind of sinners they are. You know what Paul said? Know you not that they... That know you not that drunkards, nor revilers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of the mass of mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God? And such were some of you. Now you're washed. Now you're sanctified. Now you're justified by the Spirit of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know if he'd take me and let me hide in him, he'd let you. Oh my. And then, beloved, he's an unchangeable, unchangeable refuge. It's impossible for God to lie. And Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The cities of refuge no longer exist. Our refuge still is, always will be. And even when we get to glory, you know the only place we've got to be with is Him. Huh? And oh my, David says, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord shall take me up. I was thinking about my old mother and father last night. Woke up in the middle of the night and thought about them. And I thought, boy, I tell you what, any parents like them shouldn't have had any children. But if they hadn't, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here as a preacher. But my mother and my father forsook me. But the Lord took me up. Oh, boy. God helping me, I'll not forsake my children. But oh, listen, I'm no refuge for them. I can't possibly be a refuge for them. But Christ can. Huh? Oh, my. And you know, if we run to a refuge and the door is shut, what are you going to do? You can't get in. But our Lord Jesus Christ is a fountain to open. You know what He said? He said, come unto me. You know what He said? Look unto me and be ye saved, all ends of the earth. Huh? Oh my. His ears always open. He always hears our prayer. His arms are open always to receive us and embrace us. His eyes always sees us. And His hand is always reaching to get us. Huh? Oh. And let me close with this. He's the only refuge. There's no other. No other. There's no place in heaven. There's no place on earth. There's nothing within us. There's nothing without us. Beside Him. God made Him to be our refuge. When we sin, who atoned for us? When we fall, who picks us up? When we murmur, who forgives us? When we forget Him for half a day at a time, but we get up the day and we say, oh my, I got up, started my day, didn't even think about Christ till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. What does He do? What do? You run to Him. What for? Refuge. For a refuge. Huh? And oh my, let us flee to our refuge and lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. And I do know this. If you ever find out who He is, you'll know who you are. And you'll only have one place to go. And you'll go there. Right? Right? Our blessed, blessed Savior, gracious God in heaven. Oh, Lord, thank You for Your great and abundant mercy given to us today. You met with us again. And You extended Your mercy abundantly, Your grace abundantly. And we're thankful for it. But Lord, we're especially thankful that we have a hiding place. We have a hiding place. When the storms come and the storms assail us and it beats on the house, and the floods come, and the winds blow, our house will stand, because our home, our foundation, our refuge, our hope, our consolation, our great comfort is found in one person, our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. Let's stand together. Is it 125 or 126? 6 o'clock, God willing.